We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
the Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take him out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Hendricks jumper, no good. Spencer the rebound. Warriors will dribble out the regular season, and it's going to be on to Sacramento. Final score will be 123-116.
Oh, baby! What is happening on my favorite day of the week, a Monday here on the roast? Tim Roy on the call right here on 95.7 The Game, and it is all set up, folks. It is set. Warriors, Kings. Tomorrow night at the G1C, 7 p.m. tip coverage. NBC Sports at 6 p.m. We got coverage here all day long as we break down this matchup and rematch last year's first round extravaganza between the Warriors and Kings. What's the Warriors? What is seven games? So we say good morning to everybody out there getting off the graveyard shift. If you're at work, what is happening? All the overnight dancers, cops, firefighters, students getting ready for school. Better crack them books, young boys and girls. Better crack them books. Get those grades.
You mean turn on those surfaces, iPads, and whatever else, you know.
You must be talking about private schools.
Well, not everybody's phasing away from
public schools. Got iPads now?
I don't. Yeah, see, look at, he's got a thumbs up.
Public schools coming up, then, man. Good for them.
I mean,
good for them.
So it's tax week too.
I got my taxes done a long time ago. Can't stress over that until last week. Come on, man. What are you waiting on? You know what tax day is.
I'm not trying to give the government my money so they can have interest on my money any earlier than they need to.
Yeah, well, I just like to get it out the way so I don't think about the damage.
Believe me, I get that.
Forward. All right. Warriors
and Kings.
The regular season is now over. 82 games down, and hopefully this season extends past Tuesday. It extends past Friday, and hopefully we've got another week and a half of Warriors basketball. But as we look back at the regular season, we're going to play a little wordplay here. Word association today on the morning roast, 888-957-9570. If you had one word to sum up the regular season, what word would that be? And I'm conflicted with this one because you think back to this last regular season, Shasky, they won 46 games. Warriors are 46-36. That's two more wins than last season. Last season, they were the number six seed in the Western Conference. They avoided the play-in tournament. They played Sacramento in a 3-6 matchup. And they advanced to the second round. They won two more games this season. And they're all the way down to 10th. What has happened? And there's so many games that we could point to. Say, boy, if you would have won this game, if you would have won that game, what happens if, you know, Draymond Green is not suspended? What happens if Andrew Wiggins doesn't go away for a little bit? What happens if all these guys didn't get injured? There's so many what ifs and what if this happened with the Golden State Warriors? And then you see Friday night against the Pelicans and great opportunity to take the eighth seed. And it gets smoked at home. So I don't know. One word to describe the regular season, because it was a very interesting one for the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, it's just, you know, you were predicting things. Either Colin Cowherd has this, where Colin was right and where Colin was wrong. Where Bonte was right was basically with the binoculars out, forecasting what was going to happen in the West. I mean, if the Warriors are in the East, the Bucks with 49 wins, essentially, it's third place.
Yep.
Third place, you know? Last year, they win the 44, which you referenced, and they had four guys over 17 points last year. This year, the second leading scorer had 17 points.
Right.
You know? So I think the word for me, I wanted to say frustrating, but I don't think that encapsulates it enough. To me, erratic. And I wanted to use oscillating as the word because things have oscillated from one side to the other. But the reason why I'm going to go with erratic is eighth in points per game, middle of the pack in defense, middle of the pack in defensive rating. When they played together, there were moments in time where they looked way better than last year.
Right.
And then they tricked off a ton of games that they should have won. Friday night, and I want to go back to Friday night, was one of the most frustrating games I've seen all year. Everyone's going to point to the second quarter, and they're not wrong. I mean, New Orleans went on a blitzkrieg, and they were hitting everything from three. To me, it was the fourth quarter. And the reason why the fourth quarter cut so deep for me was because Steph Curry looked so bad. They were blitzing him all night, and I thought it was a microcosm of where this team needs to look in the mirror for these play-in games, if they get multiple, and into the future. Steph was getting blitzed. He turned the ball over left and right, and they were searching for that second person as a ball handler, as a primary scorer, to take a little bit of the load off of Steph. Steph hit miraculous shots in that fourth quarter, but it was the turnovers, B. The turnovers were horrible. What, do you have seven in the fourth alone?
Seven turnovers. See, that game to me, I hear you on the fourth quarter. I thought the Warriors were lucky to be in a game in the fourth quarter. Friday night, to me, was lost in the second quarter.
Everyone's
lost in the second quarter because you're up 11 early in the second quarter, and the Pelicans had just lit up Sacramento. They were 22 of 40 from three against the Sacramento Kings last Thursday night. And we knew Trey Murphy III was letting it fly. We knew C.J. McCollum was on the heater. We knew Zion was on his game. Now, Draymond Green played as well on Zion Williamson as I've seen a player play on Zion all season long. It took Zion 26 shots to score 26 points. However, when you blow a game open like that in the second quarter, they got 45 points in the second quarter. Every other quarter, the Warriors won. They dominated points in the paint. They out-rebounded the Pelicans. The second quarter, to me, was the ball game. The Pelicans shoot 77% from three in the second quarter. 10 of 13, off the top of my head. 10 of 13. They score 45 points. C.J. McCollum, he opened the game 1 of 7. He was ice cold. Next thing you know, boom, 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 boom. He's 5-7 from three in the second quarter alone. You get outscored by 23 in the second quarter. You're down double digits going. You know, they were lucky to be down 14 going into the half there. So to me, that game was lost in the second quarter. And all of a sudden, you're playing uphill. They're a younger team. They're more athletic.
I mean,
they're longer.
And
you knew they were
going to,
whether it was Irv Jones or Trey Mayfield III, even on the last shot of the game in that game Friday night with Steph Curry, I thought he could have been a little more patient. I mean, there was 14 seconds left on the shot clock. Irv Jones, Trey Mayfield III did a great job of doubling Steph and sagging off of Draymond Green to make that double from the back and the front. That game to me was done in the second quarter. That to me was a microcosm of the entire season for the Golden State Warriors. That quarter alone, when they've given up 40-plus quarters, when they've given up a barrage of three-pointers, when they start they turn the ball over that quarter nine times. In the second quarter, they give up 15 points off those nine turnovers. And although they've won, what is it, 10 of their last, they're 10-2 in their last 12. 10-2 in their last 12, the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, but the two losses are frustrating.
Frustrating, but even the form of these wins, they're turning the ball over left and right.
Well, I was just looking at the raw data, and you know, last year Jordan Poole turned the ball over a lot. Just look at the turnovers across the board for this team. They're right back where they were last year in terms of turnovers per game. Just totality of guys being sloppy with it. Yep. You know, the thing that's frustrating to me is literally two games. Two games and everything else plays out differently. Two games. And we could pick apart, one game, you're in the 7-8. One more game.
Right.
One more game from that, and it feels like everything is different for you. And I look at the game, for example, Friday night is one. I look at the game against the Dallas Mavericks where Andrew Wiggins, who's already missed time for the last couple of years, does a maintenance day. I look at all the time that Draymond missed this year. I look at all of the different opportunities that they had with multi-double-digit leads, and they squandered them over and over. I mean, we could pick 1,000 games this year. And so that's why, to me, frustrating is a word that I will accept from the audience today. Erratic.
My word is imperfect. It's been an imperfect season. And they've won 46 games. It's basically another way of saying incomplete. Because when they have had the roster wholesome, which has only been a few games. It's only been a few games. We saw them beat Milwaukee by 35. We're like, wow, look at them. They're finally coming to, you know, wow. Next night against Chicago, Steph Curry twists his ankle late in the fourth quarter. They're up three in that game. They're up three when he twists his ankle and leaves the game. 112-109. Then you lose that game. Then you get blown out by San Antonio. You think about all the home stands they've had, in which 21-20 at home.
That I don't know what to say about.
After they flipped the road record, they're 17-4 in their last 21 road games. Yet they're 21-20 at home. Now they do finish with the winning record, but we were baking in on 30-11, 31-10, 32-9. The Warriors roll at home. Not the case this year. Everybody in and out of the lineup. Chris Paul misses multiple times. Gary Payton II misses time. JK's missed time. And now you wonder about his rhythm heading into the playoffs. Where is he at heading into the playoffs? Pods and TJD, they've been constant, but they've had their ups and downs. Sarts started off hot this season.
I mean, he's been in a milk carton. Yeah.
Just absolutely disappeared. That coincided with the loss of Chris Paul because Chris Paul and Sarts had the two-man game rolling. Klay Thompson season, rough first couple months. It's been dynamic over the last few months. Andrew Wiggins, you see the flashes of potential, the flashes of brilliance, but you don't see it enough. Steph Curry, since the All-Star break, has not been efficient. He's shot close to 34% from three since the All-Star break. He is worn down because he's on the scouting report and these longer defenders are just pressing him and pressing him and pressing him. And you're wondering what the hell is going on here. So to me, just an imperfect season. I haven't even started with Steve Kerr, the coach, in the rotations. Some games where we're talking about the Sacramento Kings, they pull a 24-point lead to go to one center. What was the topic of conversation after that game? Damn, you should have played Moses Moody. He was rolling. Steve Kerr admits it a day later. Yeah, I should have played Moses Moody later. I should have played him more. Hell, Friday night, TJD only plays 22 minutes. Everybody's clamoring for more TJD. What did Steve Kerr say yesterday? Yeah, I probably should have played TJD a little bit more. So for me, it's been an imperfect season. That's the one. I'm playing with a lot of words in my head. Frustrated is a lot of words, right? Frustrated is is a word that I think a lot of people use today.
I mean, like, the reality, like, just you and me having it. Are they a better basketball team today than what they were last year?
Absolutely. I think so. Absolutely.
Okay.
By the time they ended that season last year, you're playing like six guys.
That's okay. Kuminga felt completely out of the rotation. Jordan Poole at the end of the year, even though, like, I know people don't want to remember it this way, I think you should go back and Google 2022-2023 stats and just go the accumulation of stats at the end of the year. He had by far the most minutes played, the most two-point attempts, the most free throw attempts. Right. Like Jordan Poole was way better than everybody remembers. I mean, guy averaged 20 last year.
Yeah, in a bad season.
A horrible season.
But he was unplayable by the end of the season.
I know, and I look at the turnovers. The guy's averaging more than three turnovers a game. If you'd have told me it was 17 turnovers a game, I might believe you. Right. But, like, They took a very different path this year, and what's frustrating to me is that, yes, the rest of the West got significantly better, but they had so many self-inflicted wounds, and I could point to so many individual games this year where they pull out a couple. We're not even talking about five. Yeah. A couple of games, we're sitting here in the sixth seed.
Yeah, I mean, there's
and that's the part that's frustrating.
There's the slew of games. There's Denver coming up on a 25-4 run. In the last 7.5 minutes, where Jonathan Kuminga doesn't play for the last 18 minutes of that basketball game. And Jokic ends that game with a three. You know, there's the Sacramento game where you pull a 24-point lead. There's the OKC games where you don't foul Chet. Or you do foul Chet. You know what I'm saying? You don't foul him, you go to overtime, you lose. You do foul him, he makes all three free throws, and they win in overtime in Oklahoma City. I mean, there's so many games that you could have flipped here and there, and maybe you're looking at a top five seed. And I believe if the Warriors are a top five seed, or top six seed for that matter, and they're getting a week off, a lot of people in Dumb Nation feel a lot better about their prospects
of
making a deep run.
Totally agree.
Now, the fact is, you do have a chance to get into the playoffs. And Oklahoma City sitting at the one seed. If you could just get there, take a deep breath, then you see what happens in the best of seven. But to get there, it's this long, dangerous road where you got to go up to Sacramento, and then you got to go to New Orleans or L.A. to try to get into the playoffs. You put yourself behind the eight ball here where you have to face a double elimination game. And Friday night, to me, encapsulated the entire regular season. Friday night did. We got a little tease of how good they could be, and then we understand that, boy, if they don't take care of the ball, teams go out running. And how many live ball turnovers did they have Friday night? It was maddening.
It was maddening. And then, like, you know, Draymond Green scores 15 points the other day, the five threes, and everyone's, like, talking about, hey, if he just takes a couple shots, look how everything opens up. and he comes out of a do-or-die game. Like, that was a must-have-it type of a game. With not one shot attempt?
You know, it's such a strange game for Draymond.
Not one shot attempt?
Well, it's so strange because I got to give him credit, man. That Joker defended Zion Williamson as well as anybody I've seen all year. That 101 defense against Zion was as good as I've seen. And Zion's alone. He's alone. 26 points, 26 shots. Draymond was in he was playing his left hand so well. He made him work. Then the rebounds. But I hear you on the shots. It was a little strange where he's coming off a 5-7 game, and he's talking about the shot. The team is talking about the shot. Steve Kerr is talking about, man, he's been working on his shot. Draymond's talked about his shot, and he understands that, man, it's in the hips, and I got to just let it fly. And then he doesn't let it fly Friday night. It's kind of weird.
And then why? Can you explain to me, why didn't Kuminga play Friday night?
He took a bad fall against he took a bad fall Thursday night against the Portland Trail Blazers. Saw him before the game, said he was a little banged up there.
Okay.
So he didn't play. Boy, but
they
you know
missed
what?
Him.
But you know what? It's funny, because as that game is playing out, as Brian and Palo Alto's tweeting me left and right about, Kuminga's unplayable, Kuminga's unplayable.
I'm not scared.
Well, you know what? And by the way, I don't think Kuminga shot yesterday. Speaking of Draymond Green, I'm shooting Friday. I don't think Kuminga shot yesterday.
Well, yesterday's game. I mean, I don't want to be that guy, but yesterday's game was completely irrelevant.
Yeah, no doubt. It is. It was irrelevant. And I mean, the Warriors will tell you. The only thing that was relevant is them winning their last home game of the season. And Fezzi fell dancing at the end of the third quarter with their Hardwood Classic squad. But Kuminga didn't take a shot yesterday. And Draymond doesn't take a shot Friday. He doesn't play. But all the people that are like, trade Kuminga. In a game like that against the Pelicans, they needed easy buckets. They need a guy with athleticism and strength and a guy who could go to the rack and get easy buckets. You were missing that with Jonathan Kuminga. Because I thought that game, Pods was a little overmatched. With the long athletes that the Pelicans pose, they switch everything. They don't care about switching because they got a lot of athletes on that front line. That's where you could have missed. You know, the whole Trey Kuminga thing. Pop the film in for Friday night and tell me why you would trade Kuminga. You could have used JK in a game like that.
Okay. Do you know who the top three leading scorers on the Warriors are this year?
Yeah, I could take a guess.
Go.
Steph Curry.
Uh-huh.
Klay Thompson.
Uh-huh.
Jonathan Kuminga.
So Kuminga's third. Yes, you're right. Okay. Do you know who is the top two free throw attempt shooters on the Warriors?
Let me guess. Steph Curry and Jonathan Kuminga.
Okay. And then do you know who took the most two-point attempts on a team to balance the floor out?
I wonder.
Most two-point attempts?
I think maybe Jonathan Kuminga, who also led the team in dunks this season.
So, like, everyone wants to tell me what he isn't. And him and Pods, almost virtual minutes per game played. Just, 26-6 for Pods, 26-3 for Kuminga. Kuminga had a great year. I'm sorry. Look at the stats. Look at the numbers. Look at the rest of the guys on the team. Kuminga was awesome this year.
Third-year leap?
He was awesome this year.
I thought he took it.
He started the fifth most games on the team, and I thought he was excellent this year. Anybody that wants to say what Kuminga isn't, like, you're just out here hating. Kuminga was really good this year.
And that's a wild card going into the playoffs.
Exactly.
And I could see this scenario happening tomorrow night in Sacramento. If Kuminga doesn't start rolling early off the bench, what does Steve Kerr do? Because you can't mess around with this game.
I know.
You can't mess around with the mistakes. You can't worry about somebody getting into the rhythm. You know, what are you going to do if he does struggle early? Right now, I think he's fighting it, the fact that he started 29 straight games. And how could he not? He's 21 years old, and he sees a situation, whether you think it's right or not. Wiggins left the team for three games due to personal reasons, and you got to respect that. You got to respect that because something's really going on, and it ain't our business, but something went on, and he left three games. But he came back, and he started. JK missed six straight games after playing some of the best playing the best basketball of his career and being the second most consistent player, which all the veterans said. You heard it from Draymond, you heard it from Clay, you heard it from everybody. JK's become our second option, and he comes back and he's coming off the bench. So he's probably thinking, what the hell did I do wrong? I can't TJD's playing well, but why can't I start? I've been one of the most consistent players on this basketball team. And so now I think there is something going on in his head with that situation. Pick up your thoughts on the other side. We got a break here. Shout out to YouTube and Twitch. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. Upgrade your savings dividend. Open a First NorCal First Class Money Market today. You can now download the Odyssey app directly from our YouTube and Twitch pages, as we have added the QR code on both pages. Also, shout out to the Xfinity Mobile text line, as well as shout out to our friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. If you're going to call into the rush, you better bring it, because if you don't, you will be flushed. Brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. What's coming up in the game, brought to you by Robert Half. Your phone calls, 888-957-9570. Nick and San Jose, they're a 46-win team, dude. So how would you describe this regular season with one word, folks? One word, 888-957-9570. One word to describe this regular season for the Golden State Warriors. We'll be back on the Rust.
You reap what you sow, brother.
Jokic lines up at midcourt. Murray trying to get a running start. Cannot. Jokic in the backcourt catches. Dribbles on Looney. Jokic from the Chase Center side. Banked it in at the buzzer, and Denver wins the game.
I can't believe I just saw that. There's no way that just happened.
The way this year's gone, I'll believe anything.
You're right about that.
The Warriors have now lost 9 home games. One more than they did all last year.
The Morning Roast is live on YouTube right now. Take it away, Bonte.
All right, Steph Curry, Tim Roy, Tom Tolbert on the call right here on 95.7 The Game. Jokic with the buzzer beater as the Nuggets beat the Warriors 130-127. That was back on January 4th. Just think about that homestand. That was a 7-game homestand in which the Warriors go 2-5. Now, they had a 6-game homestand earlier this season where they go 1-5. You look at those two homestands, you flip those, who the hell knows where the Warriors are in the Western Conference? But they lost at they lost to Miami to start that homestand December 28th. Miami really dominated that basketball game. Dominated. Then the Mavericks come into town a couple days before New Year's Day, and they roll the Warriors. Luka has his way. Luka just cooked left and right. Then they beat the Orlando Magic in a very good win. Then you lose that game to the Denver Nuggets. And again, the Denver Nuggets going a 25-4 run to win that basketball game. The Joker, 34 points, 10 assists, 9 rebounds. He was 13-16 from the floor. There's no Draymond Green in that game. And J.K. doesn't play the final 18 minutes of that game. Doesn't play the final 18. And the Warriors lose, blowing a double-digit lead, which we've lost count of all season long. So what is your one word to describe this regular season? I'm seeing a lot of, I see complicated. I see appreciative. I see damn. I see disappointing. Inconsistent from the 209 and Xfinity Mobile text line. Exasperating from the 415. There's a lot of good words here. 888-957-9570. Pardon me. If you have a word, how would you describe the regular season? And expand on it. Why would you come up with that word, that one word to describe this regular season?
Let's rewind to the beginning of the year. If I polled 100 Warrior fans and I just said, you were the 10th seed and you're in the play-in against Sac, would they define that as a successful season, regular season?
No.
I agree with you.
No.
I agree with you. I think a lot of people, and I'm not saying everyone, but I think a lot of people thought, like, well, you know, just having the chemistry right, you know, everybody being kumbaya, get rid of Jordan Poole, it's going to solve everything. And I actually like the Chris Paul trade. I think a lot of people like the Chris Paul trade in terms of, like, Chris Paul being a really good contributor to this team.
Yeah, he hasn't been the issue at all.
No. But I think we diminish, like, Jordan Poole did bring things to the table. We act like he didn't. And Chris Paul's brought a lot of things to the table. But their issues as a team from last year to this year were deeper than just Jordan Poole and his contributions. I think don't you think most people would say the Warriors won the trade, even if it's just by a little?
Yeah, most Warrior fans, I don't know about that.
Okay.
I see where I stand on the trade. Is this TBD? A trade is never won or lost in the first year.
No.
You got to look at what happens over the next 4 years. And over the next 4 years, CP3 may be retired from the NBA. Who the hell knows where he's going to be at?
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Poole will probably be playing. Jordan Poole did end his season on a high note over the last 2 weeks. He played well. He's very much a young man. We have to wait Time will tell whether or not the Warriors won that trade.
Yeah, but
you would
done
think
with them.
That. But you, yeah, they, I mean, the locker room chemistry last year, you won 11 road games. There was a rift. We know what happened. It was never, somebody had to go. And you're not going to trade one of the core members of the Big Three, apparently. So that's where that played out. And so Chris Paul has been really good. Listen, the Warriors have the third rated bench in the league. The bench has not been the problem. The one constant coming off the bench has been Chris Paul. So Chris Paul for this season has been – Jordan Poole is unplayable by the end of last season.
I agree.
Unplayable.
I agree.
So I think Chris Paul has been very good for the Golden State Warriors. Now, who won the trade? Time will tell. Time will tell.
Well, I think for this season, right now, I would say the Warriors, but then I look up and I'm like, I don't think they want it enough for them to
– We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I feel like it was worth it. You know, like being the 10 seed's not good. Like that, just as an organization, they have their sights set much higher than the 10 seed.
Yeah, they want championships.
Absolutely. And a lot of things. I know you asked me a question, and I do want to get into like just this season. I wrote down all the pros and all the cons of the year. You asked me about Kuminga, and especially for this one playing game. And I know we got tomorrow to break down the game between the Kings and the Warriors. I can't answer a Jonathan Kuminga question without knowing the health status of GP2 because I just know how this coach operates. And this coach, when push comes to shove, is going to insert GP2 in there. If it's a Kuminga versus GP2, whether it's second quarter, fourth quarter, whatever, he might give Kuminga the first crack, but if Kuminga makes a mistake, he's going right to GP2.
Yeah.
And so to me, if GP2 is available, I will look at Kuminga's minutes, and whatever we guess the minutes are, I'd hit the under.
Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow night. It's definitely a wild card. It's definitely because Sacramento.
He's going to go with GP2.
Well, Sacramento's going to be buttoned up, you know, with Keegan Murray and Harrison Barnes. And they're veterans, and they know how to play the game. And teams started to figure, you're right. He probably would
have won. I hate to say it, but like.
Jonathan Kuminga, he just doesn't seem like he's in a good rhythm right now. And that's tough. When you miss six games late in the season, all of a sudden you come back, your job is taken. And look, you got to do what's better. Right. There's no. TJD in the front court with Draymond Green, it does make the defense better.
It was working.
It works.
Yeah.
It works. But how can you insert JK and make it work? GP2, we know how important he is. But he's also good to. Teams are going to say, go ahead and shoot the ball. So if he plays with, say, Draymond Green or Potts, all of a sudden you're limiting your shooting and your spacing is compromised once again. What J.K. does with spacing is he goes downhill and he dunks on your head. He gives you an element this team hasn't had for many, many years.
And goes to the free throw line.
Free throw line.
Things down in a playoff game where you can get into the bonus, which does change how teams defend you. So, like, we act like Kuminga doesn't bring anything to the table, and I just categorically disagree.
It's just, it's fascinating. Again, we always go through these cycles with sports fans.
It bugs me.
Early on, it was Klay Thompson's fault. And I'm watching Wiggins average 12.5 points a game, and people are complaining about Klay Thompson. And then Draymond gets popped, and he's not available for 17 games due to suspension. He comes back, and he has to ramp it up, so he misses a couple more games. Then all of a sudden, we look at Andrew Wiggins again. Then we say, oh, the youngsters, JK, get him out of here. Then all of a sudden, JK starts with 29 games, and he's a walking 20-point-per-game score. A literal bucket. And all of a sudden, we're saying, oh, JK, JK, JK. Then all of a sudden, he misses six games, and JK is the problem. I can't keep up sometimes. I just know Friday night against the Pelicans, there was a spot for JK in that basketball game.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's the same team from the previous season. That was up. They were up 22, I think, against the Warriors and Jason. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Draymond and B.I. got into it. Mm-hmm. Draymond and Herb Jones got into it. And J.K. came in the second half and had 18. It was dunking all over everybody and shut down Brandon Ingram. That same team.
Look, I'm not going to speak for Jonathan Kuminga, and you know he's a young guy, and I know Warrior fans, some love him, some don't think he's any good. Which he's somewhere in the middle. I think he's a contributor. I think he's a good player. I think he's ascending. I think the rhetoric wrapped around him is out of this world. It's just insane.
How would Dub fans describe his regular season?
I think he had a really good regular season.
Because listen, we always say with the Giants and the Niners, you always say, "Boy, if I could get a couple young players a pop, knowing that I got somebody for the future." Looking at Brandon Podziemski, looking at TJD, looking at Kuminga, I'm like, oh, there's some players there. Now, Moses Moody is incomplete because he doesn't get consistent playing time. So I still don't know what Moses Moody is. I think he's a shooter. I think he can help. He's always ready to roll, but he doesn't see consistent minutes.
So the way I would describe Jonathan Kuminga's year, as you phrase that question, is I think tremendous upside. I think he was very promising this year. And to me, the question's always, I want to see more. Why can't I see more? That's literally it.
Yeah.
Why can't I see more? And I don't know, man. I think we tolerate, like GP2's made a ton of mistakes in the last 3 weeks. Because I've been charting it. A ton of mistakes. Missed shots. You know, he's the guy that they lay off of in the half-court offense, to your point. I think defensively, he's not where he was a couple of years ago.
Still solid, but not this. Yeah,
he's not as elite as he was. Right. I think he's lost a little bit of his strength, some of his leaping ability. He's not rebounding the way he used to. And I just think that we're much more tolerant of a GP2 mistake than a Kuminga mistake, and I don't get it.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. When everyone in the league...
I get it. I get it. I know why. It's because fans see GP2 help you in high-level situations 2 years ago to win an NBA championship. JK was your rookie racking up DMPs. So we haven't seen JK on the biggest stage in the brightest of lights perform at a high level. Yeah, we just haven't seen it. It's not his fault. I'm not saying it's JK's fault. Hold on, Chesky.
No, I know.
It's not his fault. But we've seen, I'm just trying to explain why I think fans maybe trust GP2 a little more than Kuminga, because we saw GP2 at a higher level perform where we haven't seen JK do it yet at that level. He just hasn't got the playing time to do it. And we hope this is the playoff run and he does get that opportunity. But the fact is, the season could be over tomorrow night.
Two seasons in a row, Jonathan Kuminga, during the regular season, got you into the playoffs.
I think he saved back-to-back so, like, seasons. I hear you.
I don't know.
But I'm just trying to explain.
Right.
I'm trying to explain why, maybe.
On his behalf.
I totally agree. 888-957-9570. What is the one word you would use to describe this regular season? We'll get to everybody on the other side. 888-957-9570. That's all coming up. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking. No compromises.
Out of Cooper. Driving in on Jackson Davis. Goes up. Blocked by Jackson Davis. He roofed him. Loose ball. He has blocked again by the rookie. Paul comes out of the pack with it. Down the right sideline. The crowd roars its approval. Curry dribbles around Giannis to the rim. Lob. Jackson Davis for the dunk. A no-look lob by Curry. Slams it down. Doc Rivers has to stop the noise. Timeout Milwaukee. And the rookie from Indiana supply the needed energy here as we take the break.
The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
That's Tim Roy on the call. That's Jeremiah Fremont, who I met last night, his entire family yesterday, his sister, his nephews, his mom, his sister. Met him at the gay house yesterday. He had it on his iPhone. Play it one more time.
The best part of waking up. It's morning roast in your cup.
Jeremiah from Fremont. He was jacked up yesterday, man. So it was good to meet him. Had it on his iPhone there. But that was one of the highlights of the season. One of the highlights. Beating the Milwaukee Bucks by 35 points. And that was like a barometer for the Golden State Warriors. Remember that? It was a barometer for them. A barometer game. We're like, all right, let's see how good they are. Can they play with the big boys? Can they ball out? And everybody was healthy for the first time since November 27th, 28th. And we thought, boy, now it's takeoff time for the Golden State Warriors. Now, they do win 46 games, two more than last season. But it's been a very, very topsy-turvy, topsy type of regular season here. Incomplete, imperfect, frustrating. Are you pleased?
So I want to start here. I wrote down pros and cons of the 2023-2024, and I left some off the table so that you could contribute as well. All right,
I have mine on top of the head. So,
all right,
I'm glad you're letting me participate in this exercise.
Well, then give me your pros. I'm
glad you let me partake in this exercise on the show that I co-host with you.
Give me your pros.
Well, the pro is Jonathan Kuminga. There's a player there.
Okay, he doubled nearly every stat this year.
Most improved player. He's going to be a finalist for that. Trayce Jackson-Davis.
Uh-huh.
I found me a big who can be a nice role player moving forward for the Golden State Warriors. Is he a starter moving forward? I'm not 100% sure, but he's a guy who's going to contribute and play the right way. He's not going to make mistakes. He's going to defend. Mm-hmm. He's going to contest shots. He knows his role on offense. He's going to rim run. He's got great hands. He's not going to fumble any passes, and he's going to dunk on your head.
And I think the blocks per game was gorgeous.
Well, contesting shots
and
being a rim protector.
Let me add that the combination of him and Draymond Green felt like it did unlock something for that starting unit and enabled them to be able to throw Clay back into that starting lineup, and it felt more balanced and more traditional.
I don't know if you have this, but Steph Curry's still elite.
So
still an all-NBA player.
Steph's still amazing.
Steph is still amazing. Now, is he the same Steph from 5 years ago, 10 years ago? No, he's not. He struggled after the All-Star break in terms of efficiency. Yeah, I say struggled. He averaged 24, 4, and 4. Those are still some pretty damn good numbers, but it was a tick down from Stephen Curry. Mm-hmm. The efficiency number since the All-Star break just was not good. But I know I still have an elite player who's going to draw a lot of attention. Even when he doesn't have the ball, he's going to open up the offense for many, many others on this basketball team. So that's another pro.
Anything else?
Road games.
Ah, I didn't have
road
that
team.
One. Didn't have that.
They stabilize themselves away from home, showing that, hey, we could be a comparable basketball team away from Chase Center.
Yep.
Two. Another one. Klay Thompson.
I have
perspective.
That. Well, this
sacrifice.
This is what I put with Klay, and you tell me if I'm wrong here. Clearly, I had some issues with Klay last year, just in general, and I thought his attitude and everything, like, there was a lot going on. I think Klay had a come-to-Jesus type of a season. He embraced his new role, went back to the old role. He became more endearing, more lovable, and I thought he was much more efficient and just a happier basketball player this year as opposed to last year.
Yeah, he was happy. Last year, he wanted to be that all-star. Because, look, a lot of people, after winning the championship, and people forget, he led the team in minutes played during that postseason championship run in 2022, where they win their fourth championship in a decade. And Klay Thompson played the most minutes, shot a great percentage, and for some reason didn't get the respect that he deserved. And all last season, all we kept doing, we knew had so many fights about Klay Thompson, and I get why he was shooting the way he was shooting. He was trying to do too much. They had the team meeting. He scaled back a little bit. But by the end of the season, it felt like the play-in season, in which it was Steph and Klay shooting, mm-hmm. and nobody else wanted to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though he struggled at times, and even though his attitude probably needed to be checked at times during that season, he still led the league at threes made and shot 41%. And I know people don't want to hear about that in the raw data. I got to throw plus, minus, and this and that. But I thought Klay, despite everything, despite the rift with the team, the rift in the locker room, Draymond Green said it after the season, it was tough to go to work every single day. Now, part of the problem was he helped create that with what happened at training camp. But it was. You could just tell the team wasn't clicking. They weren't all on the same page. Then you had Andrew Wiggins leave for 2 months due to personal reasons, which is none of our business, and he went away. But the team was, last year, it was incomplete. You just want to talk about a rocky road, and yet they still get to sixth seed and advance to the second round of the playoffs. So I think Klay Thompson coming in this year, and really that perspective happening midway through the year, and he comes off the bench a game before the All-Star break and doesn't even look back. I think Klay Thompson's stock, he made himself more valuable across the league, around the league. I think Klay Thompson had a dynamic season. I think he had a special season for him. And he ended it on a high note, making six threes yesterday.
Yeah, and playing in 77 games, leading the team in games played, second in the team in minutes per game. I think a lot of things are uptick, 38%, 39% from three-point land. Like he had a really good year, really, really good year. And I think Steve Kerr deserves a ton of credit for that as well, because it sounded like they had multiple heart-to-hearts. So that's it. Give me some more pros for the 2023.
Chris Paul.
I have that as well. What about Chris Paul?
Well, I just remember coming into the season.
Because I wrote down three or four things.
Yeah, I just remember, one, his mentorship. of the youngsters. Embracing the youngsters.
Yep, I've got that.
Was special. Stabilizing the second unit. Uh-huh. Being asked to do multiple things. Starting or coming off the bench. Mm-hmm. And then, Chris Paul, we need you to push the pace a little more. We need you to shoot. Well, ever since he got back from the left hand fracture, the guy shot 40% from three.
Yeah.
Chris Paul was, I think he was everything and more for the Golden State Warriors. And all the conversations coming into the season. Oh, it drove me crazy, Shasky. You know it drove me crazy. Oh, what's he going to do when he doesn't start? He's never come off the bench before in his career. Then it gets off. Yeah, maybe not on a great foot in Las Vegas when he gets asked by Kendrick Andrews about the bench starting role. And he shoots back and goes, you coaching? We haven't had that conversation yet. But not 1 minute during the regular season did we ever wonder, boy, is Chris Paul unhappy? He played now. He may be unhappy on the inside with his role and maybe not finishing games at times, but we didn't hear a peep.
Yeah,
Chris Paul was the total professional with this basketball team, and I think he's flipped the narrative for many, many Warrior fans. You talk about from going from the most hated non-Warrior in the last 15, 20 years to, can we bring CP3 back?
I know. Most want him. I don't think he's coming back, but we'll see. I wrote down professional stabilizer, and I mean that in terms of connecting the young guys to the old guys, connecting the second unit to the first unit. And I just think being a consummate professional day in, day out, in attitude, because last year it did feel like multiple teams. It just did. And this year it doesn't. And when I see all of the little conversations he's having on the floor, off the floor, I hear him at the podium. He's the professional stabilizer. How many times did the Warriors have a lead or had a deficit and he stabilized the game?
Yeah, no
where
doubt.
He kept it close. Last year it was, we're bailing water when Steph's not on the floor. Oh my God, he's got to save us. And this year it felt like the exact opposite. And I think Chris Paul was a big part of that. What else do you have written down here?
By the way, some breaking news with the Phoenix Suns. Grayson Allen just agreed to a 4-year, $70 million contract extension.
Oh.
Cash out, Grayson Allen.
Money time!
Wow, $70 million.
When does that money kick in?
Yeah, no pun intended. Good for him. As the Suns play the Minnesota T-Wolves in the first round. They beat Minnesota.
You like that?
They beat Minnesota all three times in the regular season and blew them out yesterday. So Phoenix feeling good about that 6-3 matchup. By the way, the Suns payroll is now $206 million with another $104 million looming in luxury tax. So he's trying to keep this team. Think about that. They're a 6 seed. He's trying to keep that core together. They need a point guard. They need a point guard bad. All right, moving on.
So what else do you have on your pros of 2023?
My pro is Draymond Green in terms of this. And there's some cons with Draymond Green. I'm just saying it's all pros.
Okay.
But the pro with Draymond Green is still elite defensively.
All right.
The con is, I don't know if that's good enough for this team to be a championship team. And obviously the cons with him missing 26 games.
We'll get to cons in a second. What else? What else was a positive step forward for this team?
Because
I've got a couple more that you haven't
addressed. Go ahead.
Well, I think Pajemski was a revelation. I think most people thought Pajemski, like myself, I'll raise my hand. He'll play in Santa Cruz. We'll get a little bit of him when there's a big maintenance day and 50 people don't play. But Pajemski was unbelievable. He leapfrogged so many guys. He was fifth most minutes per game. He was the second leading rebounder. He was a hustle guy, a glue guy. I think there were some areas that he improved in the middle of the season. Shot selection, I think being a better facilitator. Defensively, he clearly had a ton of charges that he accumulated. I think Pajemski was amazing this year. If we're just going like what I expected versus what ended up happening, Pajemski was a huge part of that.
You know, I think about Pods, and I like the resiliency. He was just slumping.
Okay.
He was slumping, and a lot of fans started turning their backs on him. You know how it rolls. Oh, man, Pods is playing too many minutes. Pods this, Pods that. Well, he had 17, 10, 5, and 5 games. He's going to make one of the all-rookie teams.
Okay.
I did not expect that coming into the year. This rookie class is loaded. Pods is going to make – he's going to get one of the 10 spots on the all-rookie team, first or second team. Probably get second team. GJD is going to be a candidate to win to get that second team as well, all rookie team. So the rookies popped. Pods bouncing back and playing some good basketball. Now, Friday night wasn't his best night, but Pods, there's a player there. He's got some value. I'd also say this, too, another positive. Is Steve Kerr willing to do
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.